All right, so we'll start here at the top of Tzadi Bet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mar says that a poel can be ochel poel kishot afilu b'dinar, kotevet v'afilu b'dinar. So what the Mishnah is suggesting here is that a worker who goes into work does not have to consider the value of the item that he's working with. So he can go into a place where there's dates, right, or kishot,
cucumbers,
and he can eat them despite the fact that each individual item is worth a dinar, which is very expensive. And despite the fact that it's so expensive, he's still entitled because he's granted that right to eat while he's working. Rabbi Elazar Chisma omer lo yuchal poel yeter al scharo. Rabbi Elazar Chisma says there's a cap. A person can't eat more than they're getting paid. I mean, there's got to be a limit to how much they can eat. And that limit, right, it's not all you can eat buffet, but it's up to the amount that you're getting compensated. That's the amount that you can eat. And the Chamim say, no, it's permissible. You can eat as much as you want. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask the question, what's the difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim? Aval, melamdim et Adam, shelo yehe ravatan. We try to train a person or give him good advice that he shouldn't become and be a glutton or eat excessively. Ve'esotem et apetach bifanav, because he will gain a reputation where people will not want to hire him if they know that this individual who they're going to hire is going to be eating excessive amounts or in excess of his salary. So Mary asks the question, Chamim hainu Tanakama. The Chamim and Tanakama are the same position, which is against Rabbi Elazar Chisma, who says that the person's consumption is limited by his salary. Both the Chachamim and Tanakama say that it's not the case. So Mary says, Ikubinayu aval melamdim. The difference between them is that last statement in the Mishnah, which is whether we give him this good advice. The Tanakama let le melamdim. Tanakama says we let him do whatever he wants. Rabbanan itlu melamdim. Then the Rabbanan said, yes, he can do whatever he wants, but we try to help him out. We try to give him good advice that he shouldn't do this. Ibayitema, another possibility of distinguishing or differentiating between the Tanakamo and the Chachamim is Igbenayu de Rav Asi, that the difference between them is the position of Rav Asi. Damar Rav Asi, afilo los charo elu libtzor eshkol echad ochlo. Even if the Balabayit has hired him to take off a single bunch of grapes, then he can eat that single bunch of grapes that he took. Va'amar Ravasi. And in addition to this, Ravasi also said, afilo lo batzar el eshkol echad ochlo. That not only if he hired him for one bunch of grapes, may he consume that one bunch that he was hired to do, but in addition to that, he never has to get anything into the Balabayit's basket. Meaning, the first bunch of grapes that he picks, even if he's going to pick more than that afterwards, he can get that first bunch of grapes, can go into his mouth. He doesn't have to put it into the kli of the Balabayit. Marzvitzricha, both these statements of Ravasi are necessary. Why? Deish, man, and hach kamaita. If we only knew the first statement, which is when you're hired to pick just a single bunch and you can eat it, mishum delo ika, the meitav, the kilyosho Balabayit. Right? Because there, possibly you have nothing to put into the kelim of the Balabayit. Avahecha, the ika, the meitav, the kilyosho Balabayit. But in the second statement of Vasi, where there is a possibility of putting it into the Balabayit's basket first, then we're going to demand of you to do that. Place it into the Balabayit's basket first, and then take for yourself. If we only had the second statement of Vasi, since that, in the end, you can be mekayim, placing something into the Balabayit's keli. Therefore, we let you eat up front right away because eventually you're going to get something into the Balabayit's kli. Aval hecha delo efshar lekume lebesov. But the first statement of Asi, where nothing will end up in the basket of the Balabayit, ema lo. So therefore, we would say maybe no. In that case, he can't consume the one bunch that he's picking. He can't consume it. So tricha. So we need both of those statements of Ravasi. But the Chachamim and the Tanakama here will disagree in this position of Ravasi. Meaning that the Tanakama will have the position of Ravasi. And that's why he says the statement of the Tanakama is Ochel Poel Kishot Filu B'dinar Kotevet Vafilu B'dinar. Meaning that he's talking about the singular, a Kotevet and a Kishot, which is the statement of Ravasi. Even if there's only a singular item, you're permitted to consume it. And therefore the Tanakama would hold or support that position of Ravasi. Whereas the Chachamim disagree that they only permit it when there's more than just a single item. If you're taking a single item, then the Chachamim will disagree and say that the poel is not entitled, that the entitlement to eat in excess of your salary is only if there's something that ends up with the balabait. Now, v'ibayitema, a third possibility of ike b'nayu, the difference between the Tanakam and the Chachamim is the Rav, the position of Rav, the Amar Rav. Matzati Megillat Sedarim. I found a Megillat Sedarim. This is something that comes up in the Gemara in a number of places. And Rashi, it quotes over here, Megillat Sedarim is Megillat Tmuna, means some sort of document that or writing that was buried. Lefisha Asur Lechtov Halachot. Right, because they were still by abiding by the principle that Torah she'ba'al peh had to remain ba'al peh. She'eh shumeh devar chidush ve'yireh le'shochcho. So when somebody heard something new and he was afraid of forgetting it, haya kodvo u'mastir min ha'ayin. He used to write it, and then after he either incorporated it or was able to learn it sufficiently, then he would bury that megillah or get rid of that k'tav. So they used k'tav as a vehicle or an aid in order to promote the Baal Peh aspect of Torah Baal Peh. But once they knew Baal Peh again, they didn't keep it b'chtav, they got rid of the k'tav. So Rav says, I found this Megillat Sedarim Bei Rabbi Chia in the Beis Medrash of Chia v'katuv ba. Right? It's almost, it feels like almost like they had the Cairo Geniza, right, that Rav bumped into in Rabbi Chia's Beis Medrash. He found the Megillat Sedarim, a bunch of these writings or k'tivot that were put away, that were not supposed to be seen, and he picks one up. It says in it, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Ki tavo b'kerem re'acha, b'viat kol adam ha'katuv medaber. It says that when you come into your friend's vineyard, that, what does that refer to? That means any person who goes in there can go and eat. V'amar Rav, and Rav said about this statement of Isi ben Yehuda, lo shavak Isi chayei l'chol b'riria. That based on what Isi ben Yehuda, the way he's explained the pasuk, there's no way that anybody could survive, meaning that it would be either an impossibility or an unreasonable assumption that a person would want this situation. Why? That means that any individual passing by a vineyard could walk in and take whatever grapes they wanted from the vineyard. They just walk in and take it. That's what the suggestion of this statement of Isi ben Yehuda is. So, Amar Ravashi, Amrita l'shmaita to kamei to Rav Kahana. Ravashi says that I told over to Rav Kahana this whole exchange, both about what Isi ben Yehuda was written in the Megillat Sedarim, as well as Rav's response. And he says, Amar Li, he said to me, Dilma b'osim b'suadatam, that maybe what Rav Isi ben Yehuda was referring to is not simply that any passerby could go in and pick whatever he wants from the vineyard, but rather we do demand of them the avdu v'achlu, that they actually have to work. But what the Torah would be suggesting is, kitavo b'kamat re'acha, or kitavo b'kerem re'acha, is that anybody passing by a vineyard can go in and start picking the grapes on behalf of the balabait, and because they're doing work on behalf of the balabait, they can go and eat now. So the suggestion of Isi ben Yehuda is that we have, I don't know what you call them, freelance pickers that will go in, pass it by, go in, start picking, and then they can eat. But at least they're doing some work in order to earn that possibility of eating. So Amar Li, Afilu Hachi, so then he said to me also, that why did Rav reject that position of Isi ben Yehuda? If this is the explanation of Isi ben Yehuda, why was Rav saying that it's lo shavak chayei l'chol b'riya, that you didn't leave anybody a possibility of existing? Because Afilu Hachi, nechle l'inish l'ogir agure v'niktefe l'pardese. That person much prefers to hire workers to pick his field off, and not have it every Joe Schmo on the road who decides he's going to be a freelance picker is going to come in and start picking the field over. The person wants to do this in an organized manner, in a professional manner, and therefore he prefers to have hire professionals to do it, and even if they're going to eat, rather than have it be that any individual wants can come in and start eating from this. So now, according to Rashi, Tanakama late late de'ise. The Tanakhama does not hold of this position of Isi ben Yehuda, that anybody can walk in, because the way the phrasing, according to the Tanakhama, is ochel poel, right? So the Tanakhama specifies that it must be a poel, must be a worker, as opposed to Chachamim, who never used the term poel, and they'll hold of Isi ben Yehuda, who says that anybody can come in. So the difference between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim is whether there's a demand for it to be a poel. The only person permitted to come in is a poel, according to the Tanakhama, whereas the Chachamim say, no, anybody who comes in, either according to the modified version of Isi ben Yehuda, works and can take it, or according to the original version, is that anybody can walk in and take fruit. So that would be the difference between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. The Rosh explains the opposite, that like the consistent with all the other positions over here, that the Chachamim right, are the position that is la halacha. So consistent with that, he would explain that the Chachamim do not, in this instance, hold of Issa ben Yehuda, whereas the Tanakhama does hold of Issa ben Yehuda, to keep consistent with the other Ibayitemas that we had prior to this point in time. Right, so now that's the first section, the Mishnah, just dealing with the difference between the Chachamim and Tanakhama. Now the Gemara asks a very fundamental question about this permission or the ability of a Poel to eat in his friends or when he's working in some of the Baal Bayit's vineyard or orchard. Ibailahu, Poel mishalohu ochel o mishal shamayimu ochel. When he is granted the right to eat, what does that mean that he's granted the right to eat? Does it mean, the way Rashi reads this, is mishalohu ochel, that is he granted the right, meaning that he is now given what we call a bonus. He has his salary, and in addition he gets a bonus. The bonus to his salary is that he is now entitled to eat. That's one possibility of looking at it. Or is the other possibility is mishal shamayim. Mishal shamayim, Rashi says, it's tztaka. It's a matanat, the way he phrases it, according to, he says, matanat gmilut chasadim kishar matanot aniim. It's a gmilas chesed like other matnotim, which is that the Torah has given him the right to take it, but it's not necessarily that it's his money or it's monetary compensation towards him. It's an entitlement, like the aniim have an entitlement or have rights to collect earn items, but it doesn't mean that it's their salary. It doesn't mean it's their compensation, right? That it's a tztaka, right? That the Torah gave to him. And therefore, Rashi says that kol zman delo matul yodei, as long as he hasn't come into his possession, he has no rights in it that he can pass on to his wife or his child. It has to come into his possession, into his hand. It's in his hand, he's got to eat it. Tosfos phrases it slightly differently, which I think comes out with a little bit of a different conclusion, which is that shelo zicha lo akatu velo mashuhu lo eitz vochel ven lo koach litein to klum, meaning that the entitlement or the gift is only once it's in your mouth. Whatever is in your mouth, that's what you're entitled to. So if it never reaches your mouth, you have no entitlement here. If you have no entitlement, you can't give it to anyone else. So according to Tosfos, the whole idea of what is permissible is that whatever is found in your mouth is permissible. But if whatever is in your mouth is permissible, that means you have no ability to give it anyone else. So Mai says, the Mainaf Kamina, what's the difference between these positions? So he says, Damar tznu li ishti uvanai. If he says, give it to my wife or my child. If you say that the ability to eat or the food that he takes is a bonus, it's part of his salary, then he can do whatever he wants, just like he can take his regular salary and do whatever he wants with it. So to hear this additional compensation, he should be able to do whatever he wants with it, and he can hand it to his son or to his wife to eat if he doesn't choose to eat it. Right? And then he can yavin in lohu. If you say that it's just simply an entitlement, meaning just like the way the Rashi phrases, like matanot aniyim, or it's a gemilat chesed from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Torah gave you this staka, then that's an entitlement that's unique to you as an individual who can go and collect it. Not that you are, right, once you have an entitlement, it doesn't give you the ability then to defer or to direct that entitlement to someone else. It's your entitlement, and you can use it or you can exercise your entitlement, that option, but it doesn't mean that if you have any monetary hold here that you can start distributing it to other people. So the Gemara says, because if you say, Alimart, Misha Shemaimu Achel, the Didei Zachile Rachmana, the Torah entitled him or gave him that Zuchut, Lishtovanav, Lo Zachilu Rachmana. On the other hand, the Torah did not give that right or that permission to his child and his wife, meaning that only to the Poel who is there is entitled to that option, but not to the his relatives or to anybody else that he thinks he can distribute it to. So now, the Gemara says, Mai, what's the din? Tashma. So Gemara is going to try to prove from our Mishnah which of these two tzadim. It says, Ochel Poel Kishot Vafilu B'dinar. Right, so that a person can, the Poel can eat Kishot, even worth a dinar, Kotevet Afilu Dinar. Now, Iyamart Mishalohu Ochel. So Gemara says, okay, now if you want to suggest that this is a bonus, right, this is actually by the Imnyana Diyoma, right, this is a fundamental machlokus in America about compensation today. But he says, Yamar Mishalohu Ochel, Ogir Bedanka, Achil Bezuza? How could it be that he's hired for, right, a small amount of compensation, and then in the end he's going to eat? The bonus that he's going to get is going to far exceed his base salary. How could it be that the bonus is 5 or 25 times his base salary? Doesn't make any sense, because the Mishnah is offering him to eat a Bedinar Kesef, right, which is, right, is made up of numerous dankot. And it's, if that's the case, of numerous dankot, how could it be that he's going to eat something that's multiples of his base salary? Velamai, so the Gemara says, okay, so what's your suggestion now? Mishal Shamayim Ochel? That he eats from entitlement or Gemilat Chesed from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sof, Ogir Bedanka, Achel Bezuzah. The same problem still exists, which is that there is a imbalance between the compensation that he's receiving and this extra amount, this Gemilat Chesed. Even if you say that Hashem gives it to him, or there's an entitlement to Matnot Ani'im, it's still that imbalance between the base salary and the either bonus or the Gemilat Chesed, right? It seems to be incongruous or inconsistent. So how are you going to explain it? If you say Mishal Shamayim, how are you going to explain it? Rachmanan Zachilei. That's his entitlement. The Torah entitled him to that. So if the Torah entitled him to that, that's what it means. So even though it's far in excess of his base salary, because Mishal Shamayim, they gave him that right. So Hachanami, you could say the same thing, even if it's Mishalo. If it's Mishalo, Rachmano Zochile. The Torah entitled him to this bonus. So you're right. Even though there is an inconsistency, or seems to be impossible that a person should be able to take in bonus compensation that far exceeds his base salary, nevertheless, here the Torah was mezakeh to this individual that right. And just like it was Mishal Shamayim, you would say that, you could say the same thing about it as Mishalo. But when the Torah gave the right, when he gives the right, it gives the right, even if it's going to far exceed his base salary. So from our Mishnah, we don't have any proof. So Gemara says, Tashma, for the next section of the Mishnah, let's try to prove it. Rabbi Elazar Chismo Omer, Lo Yochal Pu'el Yoter Aschero. Vizabakhiza says a person should not consume more than his salary's compensation. V'chamim matirim, and the chamim permit that. My love, b'hakim iflagei. Let us say that this is the core machlokas between Rabbi Elazar Chisma and the chachamim. Demar sever mishalo uchel. That Rabbi Elazar Chisma believes that he eats from his own, right? Meaning that it's a bonus. And if it's a bonus, then it should be consistent with his base salary. Umar sever mishal shamayim uchel. And the Chachamim believe, right, that he is Mishal Shamayim Ochel, and Zachilei Rachmano, and the Torah gave him that right, and even though it far exceeds his base salary. Gemara says, no, why do you have to say that? Tukuli Alma Mishalohu. Everybody agrees it's Mishalo, that it's a bonus. Ochel. Vahacha, so what's the machlokas between them? Bichanaf Shechom Kemilfagei, right, the Pasuk of Ki Tavo we said before was all the drasha. The whole pasuk was the drasha. And before we learned that nafshecha, kenafshecha, was the drasha. What was the drasha we learned from kenafshecha before? Just like there's no restriction against you muzzling yourself, so too there's no restriction against you muzzling the pu'el. So, marsavar kenafshecha, right? So they're going to argue about exactly what the limud of nafshecha is. One's going to hold kenafshecha b'davar shemosir nafsho alav. Right, so what does kenafshecha mean? Not like we just interpreted the way we have explained until this point the limud of nafshecha, but kenafshecha means that which he gives up his life for, meaning that he puts himself at risk. Why? Because he goes up the ramp, he goes up on the scaffolding, he climbs up into the tree to pick, and therefore he is putting his life at risk. He's taking a danger. He's actually taking risks to help you out, and by taking those risks, part of that compensation, the receipt of compensation, is that even if it exceeds his base salary, because of the risk that he's assuming or because of the danger that he's entering into, that is considered fair compensation. Umasavar, no. Kenafshecha. Ma nafshecha im chasamta patur. Just like by yourself. You, yourself, if you muzzled yourself, you're patur. Apoel im chasamta patur. Just like that, if you have a poel that you are chosem, you are patur. So then he doesn't have the limud available to teach you kenaf shecha. That means that the mesirat nefesh that the poel has entitles him to compensation in excess of his salary. That'll be the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar Chisma and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar Chisma says that the compensation is limited to your, or the amount you can eat is limited to your base salary. We'll use the limud of kenaf shecha to mean just like you're not restricted from muzzling yourself, you're not restricted from muzzling your worker. And therefore, there's no other limud available. Whereas the Chachamim are going to say, no, they're going to use kenaf shecha to teach you that when there's mesirat nefesh, when a poel goes in and places himself in a certain amount of danger, then there is, in a sense, no value that you can quantify the compensation he gets. And therefore, he's entitled to eat as much as he wants because that's compensation for the mesirat nefesh or that he put out in order to do this work. So the Gemara says, we don't have, again, from our Mishnah, we have no proof. Again, whether it's Mishalo or Mishamayim. So the Gemara goes on to the next thing. Tashma. Nazir. Shamar. So Nazir says, Tnuli ishti uvanai. Ain't shomim lo. Nazir goes into a kerem. Now, he's going to work in a vineyard. Obviously, he cannot consume in the vineyard because he is a Nazir. So what does he say to the Baal Bayit? Give it to my wife and my child instead. And we don't listen to him. If the entitlement to eat here really is additional compensation, it's a bonus, it's part of his salary, then why can't he redirect it towards his child and his wife? The fact that we're saying here we don't listen to him is indicative of the fact that it must be Mishel Shamayim. So, Amayin Shomim Lo. Gemara says, no, there's no evidence here that it means that it must be Mishel Shamayim. Why? Hata Mishom Lech Lech Amrina Nazir Schor Schor the Kama Loti Karev. We say to the Nazir, make an additional effort in order to distance yourself from even coming close to the temptation of doing an Aveira. So what do we say to a Nazir? Is a Nazir permitted to walk through a vineyard? The answer is yes. The only restriction on a Nazir is from consuming the grapes or consuming any wine products or grape products. So is he allowed to walk through the kerem? Yes. But what do we say to him? Walk around. Don't even bring yourself close to the temptation of eating grapes and circumvent the vineyard. So that's what we say to the Nazir. Lech lech amir Nazir, schor schor lekama. Go around the kerem. Don't get close to even getting close. So here, since this Nazir, what is he doing? He hired himself out to work in a vineyard. So he's in violation of this, basically, din de Rabbanan, to distance himself from being involved with the vineyard. And therefore, the Rabbanan were kones him. That even though truthfully he's entitled to it, it's Mishalo. It's his part of his sachar as a poel. Nevertheless, we don't allow him to redirect it to his kid and to his wife. Why? Because we're kones him to try to prevent him from doing this. The chamim don't want him in the vineyard. So therefore, we take away some of his entitlements. So again, the Gemara says we're inconclusive here, because you could explain this brisa of Nazir either as Mishel Shamayim, which would be the easier way to explain it, or Mishalo. Even if you say it's Mishalo, why is he not entitled here? He's not entitled because it's a knas. It's a punishment for entering in the vineyard when he shouldn't have. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we're begging for the next brisa, Poel. But here it's Poel without any Nazir here. It's an unqualified statement of Poel. Shamar Tnuli Ishti Uvanai, says, give it to my wife and his child. Ein Shomim Lo. Now you're in trouble, because it's not about a Nazir. He just said, we don't listen to him. So, Iyamar Mishalo Uchel Amai Ein Shomim Lo. Again, if it's additional salary to him, why can't he redirect it to his wife or his child? Gemara says, no, the Poel we're talking about in this brisa is Nazir. So Gemara is going to ask the question, Vatanya Nazir, Vatanya Poel. What do you need two Bryce? One Bryce is saying Poel, one Bryce is saying Nazir, which I think shows your question here, which is, you have, right, if you're saying that it applies to Nazir, it shouldn't apply to Poel. So now if I have Poel and Nazir, sounds like it only, they're trying to deal with the whole picture here, that there's a separate Bryce about Poel and separate Nazir. So Gemara is saying, why would you, if the Poel that you're saying here is a Nazir, why have two Bryces? Just have one Bryce that says Nazir. What's the addition of the second brisa? Gemara answers up, Midei gabe hadodi tanyan. Tanyan, meaning that by braitot, you can't, like in a Mishnah, you could say, if I have a seder of a Mishnah, and I could say, okay, then why did the Mishnah say it here? And then the next Mishnah says the exact same information. But over here, when you have braitot don't necessarily have an order to them that you could say that these two braitot were said right next to each other. So who says that you have a brisa that says Nazir, and then right next to it is a brisa that says Poel? It could be that there were two different braitot at different times, and one of them said Nazir, and the other one said Poel, but Poel meant Nazir. It's not that the fact that there are two braitot over here means automatically that it must be that they have to have different dinim in them. It could be that the two braitot are talking about the same din, and they were just learned in different batei midrashot, they were found at different times. That's not an inconsistency necessarily that they're talking about the exact same din. So again, we have no proof from here about whether it's Mishalom or Mishlamayim. So next try. Tashma, minayin lo puel, shamar tnu li ishti uvanai, she'en shomim lo. So how do we know? So now this is much more difficult, because how do you know when a puel says, give it to my child and to my wife, that we don't listen to him? Shenamar, the pasuk says, velkel yecha lo titein. This would be a violation of putting it into your own kli. So now, if you think back to the previous two brayot, the Gemara explained who was the problem there. It was a Nazir. What's the problem for a Nazir when it comes to giving to his wife and his child? It has nothing to do with putting it into your own kli. it has to do with the knas of chachamim to distance yourself from the vineyard. So the Gemara here is bringing the Brisa is bringing a pasuk that has nothing to do with nazir. So now you can't explain this Brisa as being nazir here because it's explaining or bringing a pasuk that is about poel in general. You want to explain this by Nazir? Why would they bring the pasuk of El Kel Yechalo Titain as the reason that he can't give it to his wife and child? It's because of the imposition of the chamim or the din of the chamim to distance yourself from interacting with anything that's a sort to Nazir. So you're giving the wrong reason. Mar says, Ein Ochanami. You're right, that is the reason. Va'aydig toni la lashon poel, but since it used the term to describe the Nazir as a poel, kanasiv lakra de poel, it brought the pasuk of poel. So enochanami, this Bryce is talking about Nazir. And enochanami, the reason that Nazir can't give it to his wife, his child, is because of lech, right? Lech. We say the meaning of the Nazir as schor, we say go around the kerem. But nevertheless, so why did it bring the pasuk of el kel yechalo titain? It just brought the pasuk that's dealing with poel. Even though that's not the real reason that he's restricted over here, but since we're in the topically about Poel, they brought a pasuk that makes it sound like it's Asur from Poel. But obviously the Gemara is stretching over here, but the Gemara just doesn't want to be pinned into a corner to say from this Brisa that it must be Mishel Shamayim and not Mishelo.
But then you can still ask from a Poel. Because the fact is, there's a pasuk that applies to a straight Poel.
But that it sounds from this that that's not the real reason. El Kel Yechalo Titain is just a...
That's not the reason for this Brisa.
Right, but it's not a reason at all.
The pasuk is just like a
snapshot. Yeah, it's a krav esmachta ba'alma. Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, it's not the simple interpretation here. It's not the easiest way to explain the Brisa. Just the Gemara doesn't want to be pinned into the corner, right? They're trying to find a way not to say that it has to be the case. All right, Tashma. Next case.
This would that suggest that
If you explain the Brisa as Nazir, the answer is yes.
If you explain the Brisa as Nazir and that the Pasuk that tells you how the thing is not really a real
correct.
Reason, it's not really considered putting it into a
play. Correct, but the Gemara is not saying the other possibility is not there. All they're saying is not Mukhrach. The Gemara just wants to say that you can't force me to say one way or the other. Either way could be true. And it might be that a poel is entitled to give his wife and his child, not a nazir. But the Gemara doesn't want it to be that's the only way you can explain it. The Gemara wants to say, no, maybe it has broader application. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Tashma, next Brisa. A sucheret a poel iktsot b'teinim. Person hires a worker to dry out the dates, right? To put them out into the muksa. This is, by the way, the origin of the word muksa comes from this, which is mikatze, that a person puts them out of wine, out of sight, out of mind. Why? Because these are the figs that are brought in to from the harvest. Then what do you do? Instead of eating them, or instead of using them, you put them out to dry in the field. You put them out in the field and you leave them out there. You're mesiach died for them, you leave them out there to sit and dry. So that's the word muksa here. So they say, socher tepelik tzot b'teinim. He hired a worker to put them out to dry in the field. Then he is permitted to eat from them, and he's patur from the maser. Why? Because technically, if he was to eat the teinim at this point in time, then it would already be in chayiv and maser. If it's chayiv and maser, then the workers are no longer entitled to eat from that, because the workers are only entitled up to gemar melacha, which we said up to the time that the chayiv maser kicks in. But because in this instance you're drying them out in the field, that means that the gemar melacha for the teinim is only once they've been dried out, and now they're edible in the dried out state, because that's your intent here. So therefore, they have not reached that stage of chayiv maser, and therefore you're permitted to eat them. Almanat. So now, the way Rashi explains this, Almanat shochel ani uvanai, or vini, it's on the condition that I can eat it as well as my child. Oh, sheochel bani bischari. So the way Rashi explains this means that ani uvani means that part of my compensation is that I'm going to eat and my son's going to eat. I mean, I have my salary, but in addition to that, both of us can eat in the field. Or the other possibility is that he's getting a salary and says that in lieu of my salary, I want my child to be able to eat in this field. So then the Gemara says, Hu ochel upatur. He's entitled to eat and is patur. Buno ochel v'chayav. On the other hand, his child can't eat, because that's the condition of the engagement here. But nevertheless, he's chayav in masrot. The child is chayav in taking off, or he's chayav to take off masrot before the child eats over here. Now, Iyamart mishalo ochel, if you say that the compensation or the ability to eat is additional compensation to him, then how can you differentiate in compensation? I mean, why is his base salary he's entitled, right, or the ability for him to eat the food here is go ahead and you eat as much as you want, no masrot. And then when we say, oh, well, if it's your salary and then you hand it to your child, all of a sudden it's chayiv and masrot. Why should that be? If it's his salary, really his, part of his compensation, just like he's patur from masrot, so too his child should be patur from masrot. So then how can the braisa say chayav? Now, the my chayav, that's what the Gemara says here. Exactly what you're saying, Shaul, that there's no reason to be mechayev him over here. Tosfos explains the case a little differently. Tosfos says here that he basically is hired to work in the field, and then he's entitled to eat in the field because he's hired there. And then he says to the Baal Bayit, but I also want to entitle my child to take my place. If I can't come to work, or if I can't go, I want my child to be interchangeable with me in terms of the work. What's the problem with that? His child eats much more than he does. You got a teenage kid, right, who's coming into work. He consumes much more food. So now, all of a sudden, he comes in, he's going to have his teenager come and replace him. This teenager is going to eat far in excess of what the original poel, or this individual, was hired to work there. So the Braisa, according to Tosfos, is saying that if he was to eat, he would be patur. If his son comes in and is exchanged in his behalf, and then is still entitled to eat, then he's chayav in masrot. Now, the way Tosfos says about the Gemara here is, what it means, amai chayav, doesn't mean why is he chayav entirely, but why is he chayav on the excess? Lo yalu l'chayvo l'b'masho chel yoter mina'av. Right, the amai chayav is not, why is he chayav at all, but why is he chayav for the core that his father would have eaten anyway. The excess, we understand why he's chayav, because that's beyond what the father would have consumed, and therefore it's clear that that's a transaction. The only question here is about the core that his father would have eaten. Now, when he replaces him, that if he's going to eat what his father would have always eaten, why isn't that considered to be patur as well? So the answer of the Gemara is something along the lines of what Shaul, what you were asking about, which is Amar Avinu Mishum de Mechse Kemekach. We knew before, the Gemara said before, that when there is a transaction, when a transaction takes place, Mekach, buying and selling of an item, creates the Gemar Malacha. That creates the end and become Chayav in the Masrot from that point forward. That's a Koveya, it's a Machshiv, the item, and become Chayav in Masrot. So if the individual himself is eating it, even though it's his compensation, he's eating it, he's Patur Masrot, because that's what he's entitled to. On the other hand, when he hands it to his child, even though he's permitted to hand it to his child because it's part of his compensation, and there is no mekach over here, there really isn't any transaction, it looks like a transaction. Because instead of him consuming it, he's like giving it over to his child. So it looks like the child, or there's some sort of compensation being, or transaction taking place between the Baal HaBayit that's giving it over to the child. So since it looks like mekach, we say that's koveh l'maaser, and he's got to take off masrot from it. Right, well, that's what Svi's asking. What's the significance of his tie with his child, either? I mean, if we say it's Mishalo, and his child would be entitled to take, I mean, he could hand it over to his child also, then why should either of them be significant? Because Mina Torah is entitled to both of them. The answer, I mean, I assume that...
Is it as clear that Mina Torah is entitled to hand it over to his child as it is that he's entitled to it himself?
Right.
That's mixing. So, because most of the 99% of the cases, I assume, the boil itself eats. It's
right.
So common, he gives it to his child.
Exactly.
So then, when he gives it to his child, that's something that's unusual, and therefore it's mixing.
Very good. Exactly. That's the distinction I was going to draw for Tzvi. I think that both of them are Tanai, and even though you're right, they should be equal, but the exact difference. A Poel, everybody knows, is entitled, and there's no third party involved here. As soon as you enter a third party, like his child, and you make a Tanai, even though there's an entitlement, that already looks like there's some sort of additional transaction or additional exchange that's going on, because that's not the normal course of events. And that Tanai was going to make it look like Mechseh Kemekach. And I would agree.
What you're saying is, as soon as they introduce a third party, it's Mechseh Kemekach, then even Mishalo.
No, only when he makes a Tanai. When he makes a Tanai, and there's a third party.
Tanai is really irrelevant.
No, but because it's put into the contract, even though the Tanai is not necessary, the fact that he did put the Tanai in here, right, makes it that it's Mechseh Kemekach. If he didn't mention it at all, and he was clearly entitled to. Right, Tosas.
The Tanai is relevant.
Right.
His son to work the cloud.
Very good. Very good. Right. So that's exactly why Tosfos doesn't like that. That's Tosfos' question, or part of the why he doesn't like Rashi's interpretation. And that's right. According to Tosfos' explanation, the Tanai is still relevant, even though technically his son would be entitled to take from him, but he's in negotiating that his son can replace him and then eat in excess of what the father would have eaten. And that's not an entitlement in Torah. So again, Tosfos is much easier. Tzvi, to your question, Tosfos is easier to read over here about why the Tanai is still relevant. But according to Rashi, I think you have to explain that the Tanai, the fact that there is a Tanai and a transactional looking a situation, then, when we're dealing, number one, with a third party. Number two, with not, as David said, that it's not the usual case of a poel. Poel usually consumes it. Then we're going to say it's mechsek mekach, and that's going to be pushed out for Mishalo. Now, Mishashamayim never gets off the ground because Mishashamayim, you're never entitled to give it to his Bino or Ishto. And that's what the Gemara is trying to come up with here, that Bino, Mishel Shamayim, Mishalo, this will not be a nafkamina between them because it's mechsek mekach. All right.
The employer agrees to that, and when the son is working, then the son is the poel. In which case, the fact that he's going to eat more than the father is relevant.
Right.
He, as a poel, he's entitled to eat whatever he wants to eat.
But no, the poel is still the father, and it's just that if I don't show up, my son will show up for me, and he doesn't. The son does not become the poel here. He's simply doing what his father should have done, and therefore the poel entitlement is only to the father. That's the way Tosfos is learning it here. That he doesn't become a new poel here. I mean, that could be why Rashi didn't learn that way. I mean, that Tosfos is now, with this replacement scenario, creating what you're saying, is creating a new poel. And once you create a new poel, then all the dinim apply to him and not to the father. That's what your suggestion is. All right, so now, next braisa. The Gemara has no proof from here. Next braisa. Tashma. Hasocherta poel lasot b'netta revai shalo. So it's interesting that he hires a poel to work in Netter Revai. Netter Revai are fruits in their fourth year. They're Orla for the first 3 years. In the fourth year, they're Netter Revai. And at that time, they have the same din as Meiser Sheni, which is that they are Kodesh, and they have to be brought up to Yerushalayim to be eaten inside the Chumat Yerushalayim. So when it says, Hare'elu lo yochlu, that the poelim are not entitled to eat over here because the whatever they're working with is restricted. I mean, we saw that earlier in the Gemara when it came to Trumot and Masrot. If they're hired to work Trumot and Masrot, the Poalim are not entitled to eat there because they can't eat. V'im lo hodiem. But what happens if the Baal HaBayit didn't tell them that they were coming to work? Now, if he presented it up front that they're going to work in Netter Revai, the Poalim know that when they go to work, they're just not going to get to eat, and there's no problem. Problem is that here he didn't tell them that they're going to work Netter Revai. He hired them, and then all of a sudden they showed up to work, and he tells them, listen, it's Netter Revai. So true, Minat Torah, they're not entitled to eat. But the Poalim have a claim against them, which is said that had we known it was Netter Revai, we would never come here. Because we could do better working with Chulin somewhere else, and then we'd get our salary plus the food. So he says, there, the Gemara says, he has to be Podel Machilan. He has to redeem them, just like Maaser Sheni can be redeemed onto Kesef. He has to redeem the Netter Revai here, and let them eat from the produce. The Gemara says, Iyamart Mishel Shamayim Uochel. If you say his entitlement is Mishel Shamayim, I might Podel Machilan. Why does he have to redeem them and then eat them? Isura lo zachi luhu derachmana. It's a period. The Torah never entitled workers to any claim when it came to Isur. So if it's a gemilat chesed or an entitlement from the Torah, right, then you can't say that when it comes to Isur, you can't just say, oh, well, he was mateh them. Now they're really entitled to more salary. They're not getting it. It's not salary. It happens to be that the Torah, when you're in this situation, entitles you to eat. It happens to be this is not your situation now, so you're not entitled. On the other hand, if you say it's Mishalo, which means it's a bonus, it's an additional part of his salary, then he really has a monetary claim over here when you bring him in to work and there is no bonus here. He says, I thought I was coming to work with the bonus, and I'm not getting my bonus. Right? If it's a Gemilat Chesed Tzedakah that we're talking about over here, then there's no such claim. Because if you're not an ani, you don't get tzedakah. If you're not in a field where the produce is mutar, you just don't get it. It's only when you have the exact context that the Torah grants you those rights, that'll be the case. And this is the case. It wasn't the context. He doesn't have to inform you beforehand. Rashi says, no. Hatam, over there, it's mishum de mechse kemekach ta'ut. Again, even though technically, right, if it was min hashamayim, he wouldn't be obligated to redeem them. Nevertheless, it looks like a mekach ta'ut. Because again, when he hired them, They thought they were coming to work in a field where the Torah would grant them that right. So even though they really have no monetary claim in a sense, because the Torah grants the right only in certain contexts, nevertheless, they had a havamina. When they came, they thought they were going to work in a field where that context would be available, that the Torah would grant them that right. Now they show up to work, and they're not in a position where the Torah is going to grant them that right. So even though it's not technically a mekach ta'ut, because it's not an entitlement or a monetary entitlement, nevertheless, it's mechzek mekach ta'ut. It looks like a mekach ta'ut. It's close enough to mekach ta'ut that we demand of the Baal HaBayit to redeem the fruits and allow them to eat. Even though he's not necessarily obligated from a monetary side, we say, it looks like mekach ta'ut. Please go and redeem it so that the Poalim feel that they were not cheated in this instance. Gemara says, well, Ema Seifa, what are you going to do about the second half of this braisa? It says, Niparsu igulav, or Nitpatchu chaviotav. So the work was already completed, and then they had made pressed figs for him. They pressed them into igulim, into circles, and or they had already sealed up the wine in the barrels. And now, after that fact, the pressed figs separated, or the circles opened up, or the barrels that were sealed became unsealed. So now he hires the workers to reseal them or to repress them. They don't eat. V'im lo hodian, right? If he did not inform them about this ahead of time, maseru machilan. He has to take off masrot and feed them. What's the problem here? Once the figs are pressed into an igul, or once the wine is already in the barrels and sealed, they're chayiv in masrot. If they're chayiv in masrot, then the workers are not entitled to anything over here, because it's after Gemar Malacha, it's after the point of masrot. So now, if it says, if he did not inform them about the fact of what they were going to work with was already chayiv in maser, then he has to be maser u'machilan. He has to take off masrot and allow them to eat from what they're working with. V'yamart, again, mishel shamayim hu ochel, that the entitlement of the poel is only mishel shamayim, ama maser u'machilan. Again, why does he have to take off masrot and then feed them? Isura lo zachilu rachmana. Again, the Torah did not entitle him to isur. Again, if the whole idea of the Torah entitling you in a certain context, that means only if the context is available. Over here, the context is not available. Whether you knew about it or not is irrelevant here, because you're just not entitled in this case, min haTorah. So what are you going to answer? You're going to answer the same way you did before, which is what? Mechzei. It's the same thing. Where it says, how could it...
Why would you say that it looks like
in
this case? Obviously, they know it's obviously mechzei kimechach ta'ot.
Exactly. Very good. That's the Gemara's question. Very good. It looks like a mechach ta'ut here. It says, Bishlomo ni parsu igulav mechzei kemechach ta'ut. When his pressed figs came apart, that could be a mechach ta'ut over there, because they didn't know that they were previously pressed or not pressed, that they may not know. But if you have wine that's already in barrels and the barrels are open, you're so far past the point of maaser that it's obvious that there was maaser taken over here. My mekach ta'otika. What type of mekach ta'ot is here? Mida yodei ditvil lohul maaser. They know clearly that this wine already became chayv in masrot, because the chayv masrot is already back at the gat, at the press. Forget about being in barrels. Once it's in barrels, it's so far past that point that there's no question over here. So you can't say it's mechzei ke mekach ta'ot over here. So the fact that they are entitled to have the Baal HaBayit go ahead and be mafrish masrot over here indicates that it's really a bonus, that it's really their part of their salary. And they have a monetary claim against these Baalim over here that we came to work and we're going to get it. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshet, she nitpechu chayotav labor. I'll tell you what the case is. The case is that the barrels opened up into the bor. The bor is the pit where after the press, the wine falls into the pit. That's when they become chayv in masrot. So what happened was the barrels burst, or they came uncovered, and they went back into the bor. So they go back into the bor, they don't know that the wine's already chayv in masrot. The Gemara says, well, is that really true? Vatanya, that's not a good answer. Why? Yayim mishirad the bor. That when do you become chayv in masrot is when the wine is in the pit, at the bottom of the press. So even if its barrels open up into the pit is already the place where you're chayv in masrot. So they don't have any assumption here either. So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Akiva. Rekiva says, Damar Mishikfeh, that the time that you become a Chai Masrot is not when it's found in the boar, when it's found in the pit, but rather, after, the way Rashi describes it is Toses. the wine begins to ferment, and it begins to froth up on top, or the scum or the sediment floats to the, a little bit, it floats to the top. So before they sealed the barrels, they used to skim the top of the barrel, whatever floated up to the top, they used to skim it off, or the bore, they used to take it off. So that's when you become a chayv in masrot. You're not chayv in masrot when it drops into the bore, but only when you skim that top off. So damarlei, so they said to him, lo v'yadinan, we didn't know that you already had skimmed off the top, or that it had fermented to the point where the top had already come up. I mean, just the fact that the wine's sitting in the boar, it's not obvious, right, then, that it's chayavin masrot. So Gemara says, v'neim elohu, he can say to them, yibay luchu asuke da dachayu dilma makve, right, so this is what you were asking before, I think Shaul was also asking this, that you have to at least assume that there's a possibility that this has already had a gemar melacha from Maaser. Meaning that, true, in the boar, there are two possibilities. It's in the boar, and it's not reached the point of chiyuv Maaser yet, according to Rabbi Akiva. The other possibility is it has, that it's already been scooped off the top, they've cleared off the froth or the scum from the top, and it's done already. So, how did you know which one it was? Why should we say that you assumed that everything was fine and there weren't it wasn't chiyuv and maaser yet? I'll say to you that you should have thought the other possibility out. Since it's a 50-50 shot, what's going on here, either side is equally valid, and why should you have any assumption that there's a problem here? Mar says, Ba'atro, in that city, Dahau Gavra de Nogid, Iu Makfit. No, because in the city that they're working in, you know who clears the froth or the scum off the top of the boar? The one who's packing it into the barrels. The one who's pouring it into the barrels. So since they are the ones that were hired to put it into the barrels, they assumed that they would also be the ones who take off the froth from the top. If they're the ones taking off, they know that it's not chayv in maestrot yet. They know that when we pack the barrels, we skim the top. So it's not chayv in maestrot yet. And then you come and show up, and all of a sudden they already skimmed the top. He says, that's not what we came into the deal for. That's not what we agreed to. So that could be mechzei kemekach taot. Gemara says, "V'hashtu d'tani." And now that we learned the Tani Rav Zvid b'Tvei Rav Oshia, Rav Zvid learned in the Brice of Rav Oshia that Yayim Yishred the Bor v'Yikfe, that the Tanakama thinks that when do you become Chayav in Masrot is only once it falls into the Bor and then you've skinned the top. Rav Kiva Omer Mishishle b'Chaviot, that you don't become Chayav in Masrot until it's in the barrels. And the way Rashi describes it here is that there's a secondary skimming also. That once they're transferred from the boar, which already they skim once at the boar, they put it into the barrels. And the barrels, they also again begin to ferment or froth up. And then you skim again in the barrels the froth from the top or the sediment or the scum that's on the top. So now, afilu teima shelo nitpachu chayvetov the boar. Then you can explain the case here. Even when the barrels didn't burst or break into the boar itself, it could be that the barrels are sitting there and they're open. The barrels are sitting open, and they come, and he's hiring them to seal the barrels. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's a possibility that these barrels are not complete or chayav in masrot yet. So, damilei lo aviyadina and demashle. We had no idea that you had already skimmed these barrels. We assumed these were unskimmed barrels, and we'd be entitled to drink from it. So, if name elohu, so why can't he respond to them? Why can't he say back to them, you should have at least considered the possibility that they were skimmed? I mean, again, it's a 50-50 shot that whether they were skimmed or not skimmed yet. So why should we go with the possibility that they weren't skimmed? You assume they weren't skimmed. Let's assume they were skimmed. Why did you not think at least that that possibility existed? Grant answers up again, Ba'atra, Tahau Desarik, Hu Mashle. The one who seals the barrel is the one who skims the top. So since they were hired to put the covers on and seal the barrel, they assumed they would be the ones skimming it out. So if they're the ones hired to skim it out, they know that it's not completed for Masrot. Then he shows up and he says, I already skimmed it. You don't have to do that work. Just seal the barrels. And they go, whoa, we didn't get hired. We didn't get hired to come and do that. We thought we'd be able to drink some of the wine before we covered it up. He says, too bad. It was already chayiv in Masrot. You can't eat anything. They say, okay. Now, if it's Min HaShemayim that they granted him, he says, too bad. That's all. You don't have the grant in this case. The man says, nevertheless, no. He has to do be podeh and give them, or maser, take the maserot of and let him drink. Why? Because it's mechzei kemechach taot. The Gemara created the possibility of where it could be mechzei kemechach taot. Again, if it's mishalo, if it's his entitlement, then we definitely say there's mechach taot in these cases because he clearly misled them in these cases and they thought that they part of their salary is to eat over here, and if there's a mechach taot, he's got to be take off masrot and let them eat, because part of a poel's compensation is his base salary plus his eating. And if they're coming up to do the base salary plus the eating, and then they show up and they find out that they're working with the materials or items that don't entitle them to eat, there is a mekach taut over here. He misled them. So then he has to take off masrot and feed them. On the other hand, if it's mishal shemayim, the Gemara assumes that mishal shemayim, if there's isur there, then the Torah didn't grant you that right in this instance. So why does the Baal HaBayit obligated to take off Shumat Masorot? The Gemara says, because Mechzei Kemechach Taot. Gemara says, okay, Mechzei Kemechach Taot can apply in cases where the Poalim had a Havamina to say that this wasn't something that had Chiv Masorot yet. But in the second half of the Braiser, we're dealing with items that are so far along in the process that it's obvious that they are Chayiv Masorot, and the Poalim had to know that they weren't going to be entitled here. It's not even Mechzei Kemechach Taot. There's no question here at all. So Gemara says no, that it's in a process, or it's according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says that even at this stage, there's still a possibility that it was not Ne'asar. So if it wasn't, or still wasn't reached the point of being Chiyuv Masrot, Gemara says, well, even if it didn't reach the point, the possibility of having it be Masir, that should have dawned on them. Gemara says no, it's in a case where the Poalim, or normally the people who cover the barrels, are the ones who take off the skimming, make it Chayiv and Masrot. So they had no reason to think that they weren't going to be entitled to ingot over here. So therefore, since it's Mechzei Kitaot, or Mekach Taot, therefore even Mishal Shemayim, we're going to demand of the Baalim to be Mafrish Masrot and entitle them to eat. So again, no proof from this Braisa, whether it's Mishalo or Mishal Shemayim. So now the Gemara goes on to the next proof. Tashma. Kotzeitz adam al yedei atzmo, al yedei bno vito agdolim, al yedei avdov shivchato agdolim, va yedei ishto, mipnei sheyesh behen dat. An individual can negotiate or contract to work himself, or for any of these other people mentioned at this point, which is, right, his children who are over the age, who are of age, his shivchato, avdov shivchato agdolim, his slaves that are also of age, and for his wife. He's entitled to, what is the deal here? He's going to contract to do it, but they won't eat. He agrees that I will hire you, but the condition of my hiring is that you won't eat. So you can agree to that. You can make an agreement where you say, I won't eat, that I will obligate myself not to eat. So you're allowed to do that, as well as you can obligate all these other individuals to do that because they are bnei dat. They have the ability to withhold themselves, to hold themselves back and not consume. Aval eno kotzeitz lo yedei bno bito aktanim. You can't do this for your children who are minors. Lo yedei avdo shivchato aktanim. Again, your slaves that are minors. Lo yedei bamto, and not for your animal. Pnei shemein mandat. They don't have the ability to discern. I mean, they go to work, they're gonna eat. They want to eat. They can't have this ability to say, I'm gonna withhold from eating. I'm gonna restrain myself from eating. That's just not in their capacity to do that. So therefore, you can't negotiate on their behalf to do that. Kasalka datcho. The Gemara says at this point we think, but malahen mizonot. The cases here are talking about a case where he's feeding them, meaning that the father or the owner over here of these slaves or the father of these children is feeding them. He gives them mizonot. And so since he gives them mizonot, he's really entitled to all of their compensation. If they go to work, he gets their masa yadayim because he's feeding them. He's giving them mizonot. So since he's entitled to their masa yadayim, he can negotiate or contract any way he wants, because he really owns their output or owns their masa yadayim, he owns their salaries. So he can negotiate whatever he wants because he's going to feed them, and he'll negotiate whatever he wants with regards to their salary. So that's what Gemara says. That's what we're understanding the Braisa at this point in time. Now, Iyamart, Bishlama Bishal Shamayim Uochel, if you say the entitlement of an individual is Mishal Shamayim, Shumhachi Enu Kotzeitz. So that's why we say that he doesn't have the right over here to be Kotzeitz or to make such an establishment. So, Iyamar Bishlama Mishal Shamayim Ochel, if you say that his entitlement to eat here is Mishal Shamayim, is from a grant from a Kodesh Baruch Hu from the Torah, Shumhachi Eno Kotzeitz. That's why he's not entitled over here to make any decisions about their rights. I mean, since the Ktanim are entitled to this Mina Shamayim, therefore he can't impose upon them anything. But on the other hand, if you say this is additional compensation, that when a person is entitled to eat here, it's part of his salary, it's a bonus to his salary, right, then why can't he make a negotiation about everything? All this is additional salary, and since he's entitled to their masa yadayim, since he's feeding them, and he's giving them food, and he's entitled to their salary, he should be able to negotiate about all of their salary, not just their base salary, even their bonus. Now, the case here is that when he doesn't feed them, the owner or the father here is not giving food. So Gemara says, if that's the case, so he says, okay, now we understand why he can't negotiate on behalf of his children who are minors, or on behalf of his avadim that are minors, because he's not feeding them. And since he's not feeding them, he's not entitled to make any decisions about their compensation, because it's their own. Their compensation for themselves, because they have to use that money to buy their food. But then the Gemara says, well, what about the Bryce? The Bryce has set out that he was allowed to negotiate on behalf of his children who were of age. How come he's entitled to that? Says, how can he do that? He's not even feeding them. What's his entitlement here? So Gemara says, Gedolim Yadei V'Kamachle. The Gedolim know or understand. They're B'nai Dat. They understand what he's doing or what he has negotiated, and they're Mochel. Meaning that they're agreeing to whatever he says. And the way Tosfos reads this is that what do you, that before, when the Gemara said that he was Malahen Mizonot, when he was giving them Mizonot, then we said that the Gedolim are Mochel B'Leib Shalem because he's feeding them. I mean, since he's feeding them, they feel a certain amount of gratitude and indebtedness to him, and they would be Mochel B'Leib Shalem. So we thought the Avmina here is now that when it's not, he's not Malahen Mizonot, why should they be Mochel? I mean, the reason they're being Mochel over here is because either because of Yira, because they fear their father, or because of some other mitigating factor that's not the real reason. They're really not Mochel, but Leib Shalem. My answer is no, that is the case. When they're Gedolim, and the Yadei, and they understand what's going on, they are Mochel, but Leib Shalem, and they'll go to work, and they're able to be Mochel on their monetary matters. Gemara says, V'atana Raboshia. So now we have another Braisa, which is slightly different than the Braisa we just read. Kotzei Tzadama Yadei Atzmo, V'yadei Ishto. Person is permitted to negotiate on his own behalf and on behalf of his wife not to eat when they work, but not for his animals. That's consistent with the price that we saw before. He's permitted to do it for his children who are of age. Again, that he can negotiate on behalf of his older children, but not his children who are minors, to agree that they won't eat. So again, this is consistent with the price that we saw before. Now, this is inconsistent. The part now we're coming up is this price says that he can negotiate on behalf of his Eved Kenani, whether they are of age or whether they are minors, meaning that he can agree to have them not eat when they work. So as opposed to the price before said that's only true that he can negotiate on behalf or to in demand of his of Adim HaShvachot or Gdolim not to eat when they go to work, he cannot do that for his avadim and shvachot that are ktanim. But this price says that even if they're ktanim, he can negotiate. So my love, how are we going to explain or reconcile between these two braitot? Or what's their machlokas? Both braitot are talking about a case where he's feeding the individuals here. So even though before we concluded that the price of the first one that we brought down was speaking about a case, or the mission that we brought down before was speaking about a case where ein malehem mizonot. Now the Gemara is backtracking on that and saying, all right, to deal with these two brayta, this Mishnah and this brayta, so we're going to say, no, he's malehem mizonot. He's feeding them in both these cases. Uba hakamiflegei, their machlok is about the masaver mishal ochel, masaver mishal shemayim ochel. The difference between the two brayta has to do with whether it's mishalo or mishal shemayim. So if it's mishal shemayim, then he doesn't have a right to take it away from the ktanim. And that's what the first Mishnah, the Mishnah said, that he was not entitled to negotiate on behalf of his avadim u'shvachot ha'ktanim. On the other hand, the price that says that he is entitled to give away or to negotiate on behalf of his avadim u'shvachot ha'ktanim that they won't eat, and that is permissible, that's because mishalo. It's a case of it's mishalo. And since it's mishalo, he's then entitled to make any decision about the salaries of his avadim, because he's malahen mizonot. So even though the Gemara could have asked at this point also the question on ketanim, if he's malahen mizonot, and he's entitled to negotiate on behalf of his eved kenani and shivcha kenanit, who are ketanim, why can't he do it for his own children that are minors? So Gemara is going to get to that question in the next part of the process. Gemara says, look, t'chuli ama mishalo uchel. Now everybody thinks that it's a part of their additional salary, and therefore he could negotiate on their behalf, because if he's malahen mizonot, it's his money. Lokasha, the difference between the Braita and the Mishnah is, ka mishain malahen mizonot, u'braita b'malahen mizonot. The Mishnah is a case when he's not feeding them, and therefore he's not entitled to negotiate on their behalf of the minors. Ubraita, that's like the way we set it up before. Ubraita b'alehem mizonot. But the braita that we brought is the case where he is feeding them. And since he's feeding them, he's entitled to do whatever he wants with them, including the ktanim. Mar says, oh, if that's the case, b'alehem mizonot, ma'ukimta b'alehem mizot, yachik tanim namini kitzlehu. This is a question that Gemara could have asked before, and now is asking, which is fine. If he's malen mizonot, that entitles him to do whatever he wants with the ketanim because he's feeding them. And is he entitled to their maaseh adam or to their salary? And since it's we said now everybody holds his mishalo, it's an additional bonus or salary, then he should be permitted to do whatever he likes over here and negotiate whatever he wants mahayef for the ketanim. But that shouldn't be limited to the ketanim that are his avadim and shvachot. It should be true of his children as well as b'no b'toa ketanim. So why don't that? That the Torah, when it gave him rights to his children when he feeds them, gave him the right to then take all their monetary compensation, I mean all salary that they earn, then he has the right then to take that salary. But what he does not have the right to do is cause pain to his children. And by withholding from them the ability to eat over there, he doesn't have that entitlement to cause them pain. He only has entitlement to take their compensation or otherwise earned money from them to pay for the mizonot that he's giving them, but not to cause them additional pain. Tosus points out over here that it's not zachi le'rachmana, really it's not that the Torah granted it to him, because the din, lavdach ha'gachat rachmana, dimidurabanan have a mitziat katanus charod aviv. That's only a din derabanan, that the mitziava katan and his sechar, his salary, belongs to the father. It's only a din derabanan, it's not a din mina Torah. So he says, Tosus to reconcile, says, Ella, you have to say here, is Klomar lo zachalei rabbanan. You have to say that it's a man. Rivan gariz lo zachalei rabbanan. The Rivan actually had a different girsa, or changed the girsa to read, that's lo zachalei rabbanan, not lo zachalei rachmana. Inami, Tosus says, the other possibility is nakat rachmana mishum bito. That there is one case where midoraisa is entitled to the output or the salary of his child, and that's with his daughter, who's a minor. The father is entitled to output mina Torah. So that's why it says rachmana over here. Be that as it may, so Gemara now says that the machlokas between the Braitha is that everybody holds Mishilo, everybody holds that it belongs, it's an additional salary, it's a bonus, and truthfully the father, if he paid Malenahen Mizonot, if he gives them food, he's entitled to make any decisions about it, he can make any decisions about them. So in the case of the Mishnah, we said it's a case where he's not paying for their food. He doesn't have rights to do anything with them. That's both with Avadim, Shvachot, and Bito Bino Agtanim. With the minors, he has no rights to do anything with them because he's not feeding them. The Gdolim, he also doesn't have rights because he's not feeding them. But nevertheless, since they're Gdolim and Bnei Dat, they're able to be Mochel Belev Shalem. And it's fine. The Brice is a case where he is Malahan Mizonot. If he's Malahan Mizonot, he can do whatever he wants. So when it comes to the Golem again, he has entitlement to do because he's Malahan Mizonot and they're Bnei Dad, so they can be Mochel. When it comes to the Ketanim, when he's Malahan Mizonot, he should be entitled to do what he likes, take his compensation. That's what the Brice says, that when it comes to his Eved and Shivcha that are Ketanim, he can do whatever he wants because it's Mishalo, it's all about salary, and he's Malahan Mizonot, so she can take care of it. But the Gemara says that's the case, he should be able to do that to his children or minors as well. The Gemara says no, because when his children are minors, he gets their monetary output, but he's not entitled to make decisions that will cause them pain. That he doesn't have the right to do. So the Gemara says, "Why came to the Mishnah? How do you explain the Mishnah? Mishnah Malan Mizonot. It's a case where he's not feeding them." Gemara says, "Hani Chulaman Demayna Rav Yechulam Alevet Asemi Veni Zancha." And a master does not have the ability. So Machlokas in the Gemara and Gittin. The master does not have the right to hire a slave or to buy a slave and say to him that you'll work for me, but I'm not going to feed you. So that you don't have the entitlement to do. So then Shapir, then the explanation makes sense. Why? Because over here, Ein Malehen Mizonot, since he's not Malehen Mizonot, then he also is not entitled to their output. He's not entitled to what they are producing. So he's not entitled to what they're producing and can't make any decision about the Ketanim. On the other hand, the Manda Amar, Yochel Arav Lomar Le'Eved Asemi Ve'eni Zancha, according to opinion in Gittin, who says that a master can make a condition like this. Listen, you're going to work for me. I'm going to take all your output, like any other Eved Kenani, but I'm also not going to feed you. And since you're entitled to do that, then why can't you say in the case of the Mishnah, even though it's Ein Malen Mizonot, even though he's not feeding them, nevertheless, he still should be entitled to their schar, he should still be entitled to whatever their output is, and he should be able to take it. So why does it say over there that he can't negotiate on behalf of his Eved and Shivcha Knanit, who are Ktanim, to say they're not going to eat? Because he could have such a setup where they're not getting Mizonot from him, and he's also able to control their output or their salaries, because that comes to him. So my says, Michael the Mamer, what are you going to say for him? Ela idi vidi b'shein malen mizonot. No. Both the Braisa and the missionary case where he's not feeding them. Ubaha plige, the machlokas revolves around this. The mar sever yachol, umar sever en yachol. The machlokas between the mishnah and the brayse is going to be exactly on this machlokas we have in the gemara and gitin, which is whether a adon is entitled to make such a condition, which is that he will be the owner of the slave, be entitled to all of his output or his salary, but he won't be obligated to feed him. So the mishnah says that you cannot create such a situation. So since you can't create such a situation, therefore, when you're not feeding them, you're not entitled to get their output or make a decision about them not eating. On the other hand, the Bryce has documented a case, or the Bryce believes that one is entitled, you can take in a slave, be entitled to all of his output, and yet not feed him. So that's exactly the case. In Malanim in his own, he's not giving them food, but nevertheless, he still has a right to negotiate about his Evan and Shivcha Knanit, who are Ktanim, because that is a possibility for Nadon, who's not feeding his slaves, to still be entitled to their salaries and make negotiations about their entitlements. Samara says, wait, that's a little problematic. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Damar Yachol Rav. Rabbi Yochanan, who's of the opinion that says that a Adon can create such a relationship with his slave, Shavik Matnitan Vavid Kibraito, the Mishnah we just quoted, and the Brezah we just quoted, the position that supports or holds that an Adon is entitled to create such a relationship with his Eved, where he'll work and get all the output, the Baal will get all the output, and nevertheless, he will not feed him. Right, that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that. But that position is true of the Braisa, not true of the Mishnah. So now what are you going to say? Rabbi Yochanan was of that opinion, held like the Braisa instead of taking the Mishnah? Doesn't make sense. Why would he give up a Mishnah and then go to a Braisa? Ela dekuliyama, the answer is Mishel Shamayimu. Everybody holds the entitlement to the grant here to the workers, Mishel Shamayim Ochel. Velo matzi katzitz. And therefore, you're not entitled to do anything here. If it's Mishel Shamayim, you have no rights here. And you're not entitled then to negotiate on behalf of anybody. Then what are you going to do about the brights of Raboshia? My kotzeitz to Amar Raboshia. What are you going to do with the kotzeitz of Raboshia, who says that you are entitled to negotiate on behalf of your Eved Knani and Shivcha Knani Tera Ktanim? So when it says Mizonot, now what you're entitled to do is give them a lot of food. You're allowed to stuff them up beforehand so they won't eat anything in the place that they go to work. That you're entitled to. Gemara says, wait a minute. Wait, if you're entitled to do that with the minor children, then, or minor slaves, really, then, by an animal, you're also entitled to do that. Teva nikotzla. Why can't you give it straw? We learned that just before, that that the balabai can feed his animals as much, or the person who's going to work can feed them as much as the animals he wants beforehand, in order to diminish their appetite to eat when they are working. So, wait a minute. The braisa that we just read said that you're not entitled to negotiate with the other person, kotzeitz with the other person, so that the behema would, what we thought originally would be, not be able to eat over there, that's not to do. But now if you're saying kotzeitz means that you are allowed to feed them up beforehand, then say the same thing over here. Why can't you do this by a behema? Behema also you can stuff up beforehand. So the same should be true beforehand by a behema. Ella Bahaka Miflige. Now we have to say that this is the machlokus between the Braisa and the Mishnah, the Mar Sever Mishalohu Ochel, Umar Sever Mishel Shamayim Ochel. So to our question before, of whether it's Mishel Shamayim or Mishel Lo, we have a steer of machlokas between a Brice and a Mishnah that exactly take up those two positions. That the Mishnah believes that it's Mishel Shamayim Ochel. Since it's Mishel Shamayim Ochel, he's not entitled then to negotiate on behalf of his children who are Ktanim, and he's also not entitled to negotiate on behalf of his Evan and Shivcha Ktanim. Whereas the Brice believes, no, Mishalohu, that it belongs to him. Since it belongs to him, and he's being maledem mizonot, he's giving them food, then if he's giving them food and it's his, it's additional salary, which all belongs to him, then he can negotiate on behalf of his minor children, and he can be negotiating on behalf of his minor slaves. But the Braisa says he can't do that for his minor children. That we saw from the Gemara before, that even though he technically should be allowed to take their monetary compensation, or he's allowed to negotiate on their behalf when it comes to monetary matters, what he's not entitled to do to his banav and Ben and Bito Aktanim is negotiate something that causes them tsar. That he's entitled to their monetary output and their salary, but he's not entitled to make decisions about things that affect them physically and cause them discomfort or pain. So we will stop over here with this conclusion that the Gemara says that the answer to the question of Shiloh Mishel Shamayim turns out to be a machlokas between a Braisa and the Mishnah.